Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking. Welcome to another exciting episode of Fan Junkies Radio. I am your host, Jonathan Ragus. And as always, alongside me, my partner in crime, Mike, old blue eyes McShane. How you doing, Mike?
You got that one right. Hey, yeah. We're here on December 12th, 2012. And everybody's making a big deal about this 12-12-12 thing. I don't get it. Another 100 years or something before it occurs again. But it's I keep reading on Facebook, it's National Soundcheck Day. So I guess we're doing our best soundcheck.
We're trying, right?
Yeah. Best soundcheck right here.
We're trying. I mean, hey, we're getting there. It's Christmas is coming upon us quick. But before we get off, we have to say something here, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, and it would have been the 97th birthday of old Blue Eyes Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, that's where December 12th really means something. Come on, folks.
Really? Does it just mean that for you? Does it mean anything else?
The chairman of the board's birthday. We got to remember that. That's outstanding.
Definitely a special. I would definitely go with you on that one.
Yeah.
But Chris, music, right? Sinatra was one of those guys you have to think about, right?
No better than old Blue Eyes himself right there.
Absolutely.
And it wasn't just the Christmas music. It was all the other great stuff, you know. And, you know, I couldn't even begin to start to rattle them all off. But I've been a Sinatra fan since I was a little kid.
So what, about 1937?
Yeah, right around that time. You got that one. That's right.
Listen, we're not talking Rat Pack. We're going to be here all day, man. We're not going to get the sports. So. But you know what? Before we get into our own stuff here, we have to say, you know, yesterday's premiere episode of the LFL Edge, hosted by yours truly and Mike McShane, went over great.
It sure did. It was an exciting broadcast, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it was like that.
It really did. It really did. And, we're going to be doing the pregame for the Pacific Cup coming up on Saturday night.
Yep, Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern time to 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, an hour and a half. It's going to be action-packed.
Yeah, they just extended that. It was originally supposed to be 60 minutes, and now they've gone and extended it to 90 minutes.
Because we have so much to say and so much to do. And we also have to send out a special thank you to our guest analyst who's going to be joining us for the Pacific Cup. And it's Heather Furr, the rock star herself from the Chicago Bliss.
Yep.
Will be our guest analyst for the show, and we're also going to be joined by Pete Richmeyer, who is the Seattle Mist beat writer, Mark Steferi, who's the LFL Canada beat writer, as well as players from both the Seattle Mist and the BC Angels who are going to be calling us from the locker room and from the sidelines.
Yeah, it's
going to be. What professional league does that? I mean, that is awesome.
One action-packed program. I mean, that's why we really had to go. It had to go to 90 minutes because there was no way we were going to get it all in.
Absolutely. And we'll be taking
calls. Yep.
And that's one thing everybody has to know, is that we will be taking calls, and you'll even have an opportunity to talk to Heather for herself. And, you know, that's LFL Edge. It'll be on Blog Talk Radio and LFL360.com.
Right.
Just go to blogtalkradio.com/LFL Edge or even follow us on Twitter @LFL Edge, and then you'll get the call-in number and you'll get all the information on the show. It's going to be great.
You got it. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, I know I am, buddy. I can't wait for it.
Yep.
All right, but let's get into some basketball here, Mike. It's going to be a good one. But actually, you know what? Before we do that, let me just throw out the guest call-in number, 347-237-5373. As always, we will be taking your calls. So call in and talk to us, or even wish us a Merry Christmas if you like.
Wish old Blue Eyes a happy birthday. You know, that's it.
Yeah, it's going to be turned into Rat Pack Radio, buddy.
We got just about a little bit of everything on the docket here for today.
Absolutely. But kicking it off, basketball. Last Cleveland Cavaliers defeated the Los Angeles Lakers 100-94. Yes, a 4-17 defeated the star-studded Los Angeles Lakers.
Yep.
Mike, here we go. 19 points, 20 rebounds from Dwight Howard. 10 rebounds in the starting role for Jordan Hill. 42 points from Kobe Bryant. And yet they still dropped the game.
Yeah, well, and this Lakers team is now 9-13.
Yes, they are.
You know, and I was saying to you pre-show, this team just looks like a complete wreck. It's an absolute mess, and you got to wonder if we are, in fact, watching this thing just completely unravel right before our very eyes.
Yeah.
You know, Brown was fired when they were, what, 5-5?
Yeah. I think it wasn't even that much. I think, what was it, like only 4 games into the season, right?
Well, listen, here's what I know. D'Antoni's 4-8 since taking over. So if you do the math on it, they fired Brown when he was 5-5.
No, they actually fired him when the Lakers were 1-4.
Okay.
So that was in November. November 10th, they were just 5 games into the season, and they fired Mike Brown.
Right. And so we've gone 4-8 under D'Antoni, and you know, everything is falling apart. Magic Johnson's coming out. He's making comments. D'Antoni's getting rowdy with reporters. I mean, the whole thing just looks very, very – it just looks like they're coming apart at the seams.
Well, listen, Mike, if you can recall, when they fired Mike Brown, they got off to a very, very good start with Bernie Bickerstaff as the interim coach.
Correct.
I said right away, leave Bickerstaff in there.
Right.
He's doing something with this team that nobody's going to be able to do. No. Let's go out and get Mike D'Antoni. 4-8 later. Now, is Mike D'Antoni going to get the Mike Brown treatment?
Well, that's where I'm kind of going with it. And yet, you know, even Johnson said, in his comments the other day, he said, well, you know, we've already made one move on the coach situation already this early in the season. Are we going to do another one? If you do another one, then you're just blowing up the whole team.
Well, you know, Magic Johnson said it himself. He goes, how in the hell does the Orlando Magic, without a Dwight Howard, score 40 points in the fourth quarter in the Staples Centers? Are you kidding me? That should never happen.
Right.
What Magic said. So you see, Magic is peeved.
Sure.
You know, Mike D'Antoni's losing his cool now because, as you said, somebody asked him a question yesterday about do you teach these guys defense? Are you practicing it? And D'Antoni went ballistic saying, hell yeah, we worked for a half an hour on it. You're starting to piss me off. You are starting to piss me off because you're saying something that's not factually correct.
Right.
So that guy basically set Mike D'Antoni up to look like a sucker.
Well, he did. And from what I understand, that reporter, if you want to call him that, he's more of a saber rattler who works for one of the local cable stations out there in Los Angeles.
Yeah, Simers from the Los Angeles Times.
He apparently got a reputation for doing this sort of thing. But nonetheless, if you've got a guy, you know his reputation, you know he's going to be like that, and you're in the situation that D'Antoni's in right now, you've got to keep your cool. I mean, bottom line, you've got to keep your cool. Otherwise, it's just sending the message out there across the league that this team is melting right before our very eyes.
He's already showing how frustrated he is. Only a few games into his Lakers coaching tenure, and he's already showing how frustrated he is.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Before we keep going on, Mike, we have a caller from the 609 area code.
Yep.
609, you're on the air.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Oh, there we go.
I'm sorry. I was just getting the Christmas spirit, fellas. It is nice to speak with both of you once again.
We got Brett from New Jersey on the line. What's going on, brother?
Not much. You know what? You guys do this basketball talk, and I needed to call and chime in on one thing related to what you're talking about, and then one thing a little bit off topic. But the first thing, Mike D'Antoni is the most overrated coach that I have seen in my entire life when it comes to basketball. He is terrible. I don't understand this mystique of Mike D'Antoni and about how he's a great coach. And frankly, they were better off with Mike Brown.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And if they weren't going to stick with Mike Brown, I mean, Bernie Bickerstaff got up to what, I believe, a 4-1 record before D'Antoni took over?
Yes. Right,
yeah.
Exactly. That's the math. You got it, Jonathan. But, Jonathan, you even made the comment back when Brown when they made their depart from Brown. You made the comment that you really felt that a lot of it was internal, that it was, you know, it was Kobe, that there was a lot of dissension amongst the rank and file there, and that's really why the whole move happened.
You know what? You don't take guys who need the ball constantly and try to win. Yes, the Heat did it, but they did it in a smart way. They knew Bosch didn't need the ball to be effective. They knew Dwayne Wade, who was the star of that team, and to me the captain and the reason why the Heat are a good team in the first place, doesn't need to have the ball either all the time to be a competitor and to be excellent. LeBron, too. You know what? You got to give it to LeBron. I'm not a big LeBron James fan, but the guy could pass the ball.
Yes.
I mean, there is a reason why this guy is always getting somewhere near double-digit assists once in a while.
He's frequently criticized for passing it too much. Come on, let's get it straight.
Well, absolutely.
I mean,
but you can't take a guy like Dwight. Shoot, Brett.
I've seen this crazy stat a few times since yesterday. Something like the Lakers are 1-10 when Kobe Bryant scores 30 points. How does
yeah,
that happen?
1-10 when Kobe Bryant scores 30 points. And to throw that out there, because I'm a Knicks fan, the Knicks, yes, are around 10-1 right now when Carmelo Anthony scores about 30 points. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy.
Well, it comes down to the obnoxious question that our reporter in Los Angeles asked. You know, it's obvious that there's absolutely no defense on this team.
No.
So, you know, you can get a Kobe scoring 30 points, but if you're not dropping back and if you're not playing the defensive side of the ball, you're going to lose.
Yeah. But listen, you know, let me throw this out there, too, because I am actually a big Bernie Bickerstaff fan. I like this guy. I think he is a top-notch coach. Unfortunately, he coached some of the most miserable teams in the NBA. And still guided a few of them to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And now you got this guy on the bench. This is what bothers me. And this goes with every other team, especially the Knicks. When they would fire coaches and keep putting Herb Williams as the interim coach, Herb Williams would do a really good job with the Knicks. Because he knew what it takes to play in New York, and he knew how to get all the fundamentals invested into his team, offensively and defensively. All of a sudden, they just turn around and they hire the biggest name out there only to be miserable again. Mm-hmm. Why can't a team like the Lakers, who has an NBA-experienced veteran coach on the bench, just give the job to him?
Well, you know, it's a rhetorical question, and I think in some respects, I think you may have answered it a couple of months ago when we first talked about this, and it appears that there's something politically motivating all of it.
Oh, it's got to be. It's got to be. What do you know? It's got to be. What do you think, Brett? Are you still there, man? Do you agree with that or what?
I am. Something's definitely not right. I mean, D'Antoni, I think most people felt was the wrong choice in the beginning. You know, it looks like, I guess, Phil Jackson wanted more power than they were willing to give up, which, you know, I guess that whatever. But Phil Jackson, come on. The greatest coach probably ever coached the game. It knows how the talent works, knows most of the players on the team, how he got passed over, even if he was asked for a little bit more power. Beyond me.
But that's
paying the price now.
Yeah, he knew what it takes to win in Los Angeles. He has won there many times. He has a good relationship with Kobe Bryant. He knows how to work with Kobe Bryant and get through to Kobe Bryant. But yet you pass him up for a guy who does not know how to coach defense.
Well, with due respect, and we've never gotten the full story on it, but a lot of the rumors that were floating around about the demands that he was making were just way off the wall. Come on, guys.
You know what? I think that goes to say that Phil Jackson is done with coaching in the NBA.
Well, I do, too, and I'm going to be honest with you.
Gave him into his demands, I think that would have been the only time that you see Phil Jackson back in the league because he's going to have monster control over this team.
Yeah, I'm not saying that D'Antoni was the right guy to go with, but at the same time, and no one's discounted the rumors about what Jackson's demands were. No one said from Jackson's side that it was absolutely wrong, so therefore it continues to hang out there. His requirements were ludicrous.
Well, you know what? Let me put this out here, too. When the Knicks got rid of Mike D'Antoni last year, there was rumors wide away that Phil Jackson was interested in coming back to New York because he did play in New York. He won a championship there as a player. He wanted to come back and basically end his NBA career by coaching the team he played for.
Right.
You never once heard any type of those demands. In the same aspect where, as soon as Mike Brown was fired, you heard that Phil Jackson's name was thrown in there. All of a sudden, you hear about these ridiculous demands. So, you know, two opinions
well,
here.
I think a lot of it is about leverage, too, though. I mean,
well, yeah.
You know, here come the Lakers pretty much crawling to them. You know, in L.A., when your team starts 1-4, it's the end of the world. You know, they're freaking out. And I think at that point, Phil Jackson was kind of in a spot where he could pretty much kind of say, okay, this is what I want. You know, it was almost like they were coming to him. You know, so I think he was kind of in that position of power. That's the big difference between that and maybe what was talked about with the Knicks.
Sure, but I think it goes back to what Jonathan just said, and that is that I think it's a clear indication that Phil Jackson is making the case that he does not care to return to coaching.
No, unless, you know what? It's either that or he doesn't care to return to the Los Angeles Lakers because he already did what he wanted to accomplish there.
Right.
Honestly, I think if somehow the Knicks fail miserably and they end up getting rid of Mike Woodson sometime this year, which I don't see it, or even next year, which I don't see, because Mike Woodson is one of those coaches that teaches fundamentals on both sides of the ball, I think Phil Jackson might want to actually take that Knicks coaching job.
No, we'd have to,
no, I think he wants to end it where he began in the NBA.
Yeah.
But I hate to say it, I don't think Mike Woodson's leaving New York anytime soon. Doing a phenomenal job.
But to classify the Lakers at 1-4 being that was a disaster or a horrible situation, I think it's actually worse now at 9-13. To be honest with you, and to be 4-8 under D'Antoni, I think the situation right now is actually worse than it was back when they were 1-4.
Well, you can't give them credit. The only reason why they have 9 wins anyway is because of Bernie Bickerstaff.
Yes. Very good point.
You know, 1 win under Brown, 4 wins under D'Antoni, and then in 5 games you get 4 wins under Bernie Bickerstaff.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Do you guys blame the players at all?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I think, in fact, that's where we're going with it. I think we've been saying that it certainly appears that Kobe has a lot to do with what has occurred here.
I think it's a lot of them. You know, I'm sorry. You don't, you know, this is Kobe's team. It's always been Kobe's team. He's clashed with Shaquille. He clashed with Gary Payton for a little bit when they brought him in. I mean, who knows what the hell happened? Did he clash with, Karl Malone when they tried to make that big star-studded cast there? I'm sorry. You got Kobe Bryant. You got a guy with a huge ego and a piss-poor attitude in Ron Artest. And no, I'm not calling him by his new name because it's ridiculous.
Right.
And then, you know what? You bring in Dwight Howard, who, hate to say it, guy's a diva.
Yeah.
To me, the only person on this team who actually doesn't have any kind of a piss-poor attitude is Steve Nash, and the guy's not playing.
I think another guy without a piss-poor attitude is Pau Gasol, and it seems to me like he's getting the short end of the stick out there.
Well,
you know, it seems like a lot of the radio hosts and journalists out there are putting the blame on him, like it's Pau Gasol's fault.
Well, there is a lot of talk, though.
You know?
There's a lot of talk at this particular moment about whether Gasol has actually bailed on the team and has, basically it's faking all the situation at this point. Because he's just not pleased with the way things are going. I mean, there was that report that was out the other day that Gasol was basically told, shape up or you're out of town.
Well, this is why I get a kick out of the whole...
I can think of a pretty young 12-9 Eastern Conference team who's on the rise who could really use a big man right now.
I hear you.
You know, they have one out faking a knee injury.
You got that one straight, Brett, and I know who you're talking about, and I wouldn't mind it one bit.
Hey, listen, there's, even the Sixers, but there's a bunch of teams out there that could use and utilize Pau Gasol.
There was talk that
Absolutely.
The Sixers were looking to get him in the offseason anyhow, and I was kind of rooting for it.
Yeah, there were some rumors, some Iguodala for Pau Gasol talks with some other players thrown in there. But, ultimately, I think that may have been the best route because I don't know about you, Mike, but I'm in the belief that we may never see Andrew Bynum play a game in a Sixers uniform.
I've stated that. And my big concern is that, and this has been one of the rumors that I have heard, is that the Sixers would re-sign him even if he does not play a single game this season. And I think that would be one of the biggest mistakes I've ever...
comedy. Because, Mike, please say it. Brett, you've heard me too say it many times on air. As soon as the 76ers got Andrew Bynum, I said, you guys better be worried. He's not going to play for you.
Well,
you got shafted in that deal, big time.
Well...
Yep.
Anyhow.
I'm going to toot my own horn on that for the rest of my life, man.
Brett, what else was on your mind today?
Nothing. I thank you guys for taking the call. I'm glad we got to discuss everything. And I'm going to drop off, let some other callers on. And as I drop off, I just, on this special 12-12-12 day, I was just curious, both of you guys, who your favorite number 12 athlete is of all time, any sport? That's the question that I'm going to leave for you as I drop off here and let somebody else get on.
Thank
you guys again.
I like that.
All right, Brett, take care.
Thank you, Brett. Good question. You know what? I already know who mine is. Do you want to answer first, or do you want me to go?
Actually, I've got to be honest with you. I was thinking about it this morning, and I am at a complete loss. I was trying to think of numbers, and I was going back through the old days of the Philadelphia Flyers, and Gary Dornhofer's in there. He was certainly one of my favorites wearing a number 12, but then you've also got Randall Cunningham. So it's a tough call for me. I don't know if I'd actually want to make a, you know, throw one out there. Those, of course, are just Philadelphia guys that I'm throwing out there. I mean, there were others I was able to think of who are not necessarily affiliated with Philly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot out there. I mean, you know what? The guy I can think of right away who my most favorite number 12 player was?
Joe Willie.
Nope. No. Oh, for you?
No, for you.
No. For me, number 12, Utah Jazz point guard John Stockton.
Oh, and I can see that coming from you, absolutely.
Yeah, actually, Brett just wrote in the chat room he was sorry he didn't get to say his number 12 before we got him off the line, but his is Tim Kerr.
All right, okay, yeah, I had forgotten about Kerr because I go back a little bit later, and I was thinking Dorney.
All right. Yeah. What are you gonna do? I don't know.
Yeah.
To me, it's John Stockton,
the
best basketball players that ever played a game. Unfortunately, never won a championship.
Well, I think that's most appropriate for you, Jonathan.
Yeah, it is. It is. Why? Because I'm a passing machine like John Stockton?
No, just because of your relationship with the guy over the years.
Oh, man. All right. Football time.
Yeah.
To make our Week 15 picks. What do you think?
Well, I've got some good ones.
All right, great. Well, before we do that, let's try the guest call number again. It's 347-237-5373. Give us a call and let us know who some of your picks might be, because now it's time for our Week 15 picks in the National Football League.
Uh-huh.
Mike, Thursday night football, the Cincinnati Bengals at your Philadelphia Eagles, with the Bengals a 3-point favorite. Should it be higher? I say yes. What do you got, Mike?
Well, I'm not sure if it should necessarily be higher. I don't have a gripe with the...
Because you love Nick Foles, huh?
No, actually I don't, but I'm not sure that it should necessarily be hard, because I think the Bengals have kind of – well, they've shown a bit of inconsistency to me this year that has bothered me a bit, so I'm not sure whether the line should be higher per se. The Eagles, I think, just barely – I mean, in my opinion, they just barely eked that win out last week. We're going to be coming off of a short week. I don't like the Eagles at this one at all, despite the fact we're playing at home. I am picking the Bengals.
I actually have the Bengals, too, for reasons that you just stated, so I won't waste everybody's time by stating my reasons for it.
All righty.
Now we got the Green Bay Packers at the Chicago Bears. Green Bay, a 2.5-point favorite, Mike.
Yeah. The Bears, they're 1-4 in their last five.
Yeah.
And I have a sneaky suspicion that's why they're the underdog in this one, despite the fact they're playing at Chicago. Nonetheless,
mm-hmm.
Chicago is fighting for the playoffs, and they still have a legitimate shot at winning the division outright. I'm picking Chicago.
Yep, I'm actually going Green Bay here. Green Bay 9-4. They're starting to pick it up a little bit here and there. They're still not winning games, though, by a large margin like they used to. But Chicago Bears, they're starting to decline a little bit. Packers have the edge. I'm going Packers.
Yep.
New York Giants at the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons a 1.5-point favorite. Mike, I know you love the Falcons. Let's hear what you got to say.
Oh, yeah. You know I love that team
so
much. Listen, let me say this. This is the time of year when the New York Giants start to pour it on, okay? We saw it last year. We saw it the year before. This is the New York Giants time of year. They're 2-3 in their last five. I recognize, however, that East, and I have been saying it now for a past number of weeks,
yes,
is up for grabs. Everybody's fighting to stay in the race there. The Giants, they're still not a lock to win the East. They're going to have to keep pace. The Giants win this game. Atlanta showed last week that they're very, very beatable against lesser teams.
Yeah.
And Atlanta's only a 1.5-point favorite. That line is speaking to me. Take the Giants.
Yep, absolutely. Giants will be 9-5 by the time this game is over. I'm going Giants as well. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the New Orleans Saints. Saints a 3-point favorite.
I'm not impressed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I've been saying.
Well, we knew that already.
All right.
But you have been impressed with the Miami Dolphins, so remember, let's speak wrong.
Are you trying to discredit me?
Of course not, Mike. This is a friendly competition.
Yes, it is. Very friendly, obviously.
yeah.
I'm not impressed with Tampa Bay. New Orleans, tough year that they've had. I've been saying it every week. You know, you got to – They're going to eke a win out here and there. I'm going with New Orleans on this one. I just think Tampa Bay's way too inconsistent.
I'm going Tampa Bay.
Wow.
You know what? They were right there at the edge of the game. you know, to me it was their defense that should have held on. Offense looked good. I'm taking Tampa Bay this game. I think they beat the Saints.
Okay.
Minnesota Vikings at the St. Louis Rams. Rams a 3-point favorite.
Rams are 3-1-1 in their last five, and I think this is a team that is showing that they're improving every single week. Minnesota, on the other side, I think is a team that is showing they are mediocre every single week. And that's what Minnesota is. I'm taking St. Louis.
Really?
Yes.
I'm actually going Vikings here.
That's
I haven't
right.
picked them, I don't think, once this whole season.
That was the one that you told me I was going to be surprised at.
Maybe not.
Okay.
Maybe not. Actually, it is the one I thought, you know, so you were going to be surprised at. So, yeah, Minnesota, I'm going with them. Washington Redskins at the Cleveland Browns. Browns a 1-point favorite. This is a tough one, Mike. Who do you got?
Well, it's a tough one only because I think there's still a little bit of doubt right now about whether our G3 is playing. Is that correct? The guy's going to play. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
You know what? They're close. They have a chance. You would think RG3 is going to play, but his knee is so severely sprained, I don't see him playing the whole game, and I see him possibly even being injured again with the way he plays.
Well, one of the things
with Cousins coming in now, is Cousins a better quarterback than Whedon is?
Yeah.
I say yes, but I think Whedon has a little bit more season. I'm going with the Cleveland Browns in this game, believe it or not, Mike.
Well, and I'm going to go with Washington because I just think that, again, and I go back to my whole concept about the synergy that's going on right now over in the NFC East. Everybody needs to keep pace over there. I'm going to pick Washington.
Yeah, I knew you would. I just knew it. Let's see who we got here. Jacksonville Jaguars at your Miami Dolphins, Mike. Dolphins, 7-point favorite. You're picking the Dolphins. We already know this.
Suddenly, they're my Miami Dolphins.
Well, because you pick them every week, no matter who. I mean, come on, man. These guys could be playing against Optimus Prime and the rest of the Transformers, and you're picking the Dolphins.
Wait, Jonathan, this is a Jacksonville team that is 2-11 going up against a 5-8 team in Miami. At Miami. Seriously? Miami is favored by 7. I think the line is too high, but I'm taking Miami. Yes, I am.
All right, here's my shocker. I'm taking the Dolphins.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, I mean, listen, they're playing Jacksonville. I take a bunch of peewee football players 5 and up over the Jacksonville Jaguars right now. So, yep, I got the Dolphins. I knew you'd like that.
Yes, I do. I like it.
Yeah. All right, Denver Broncos at the Baltimore Ravens. Broncos, a 2.5-point favorite. I think it could be a little higher, that line, Mike.
It could be one of the best games all weekend long, huh? We got a 10-3 Denver team who has already locked up their division. Baltimore Ravens are almost there at that point right now. They're 9-4. Could be one of the best games all weekend long. Denver is favored by 2.5. I just think Denver is a stronger team at this particular moment. I'm going with Denver.
Great. Going with the Broncos as well. Peyton Manning is on a tear. This team looks great. Huge day from Sean Marino this past week. Denver's going to take it. Baltimore's falling apart at the seams, man. Indianapolis Colts at the Houston Texans. Texans coming off a huge loss, but are an 8-point favorite against the Colts.
Yeah, look at this Colts team at 9-4, huh?
Who
really? 9-4. Quietly.
Who would have sunk it?
Quietly 9-4. And Andrew Luck, as I've said before, just seems to be maturing every single week.
Yeah. He has some flat lines here and there, but
he's
still growing.
He's a rookie, man. Yeah. He's a rookie, but I mean, you know, tremendous performance in turning this team around. 9-4, it shocks me. Indianapolis still has a shot. In fact, I think they're probably favored right now. They've got to be favored as the number one wild card. And they're going to continue to fight for that. So I'm taking Indy to win this one at Houston.
Well, very nice. I'm actually taking the Texans. No matter how much Luck is doing good right now, I still think Houston is a better team. They have the better running backs. They have the better wide receivers. They have the better tight end. They have the better defense, Mike. Going with Houston here.
Okay.
Carolina Panthers at the San Diego Chargers. Chargers a 3-point favorite. Mm-hmm. How?
Carolina, 4-9. But however, Cam Newton had a tremendous day last week. That's the kind of thing that we were projecting from Cam Newton all year long.
Coming off a huge game.
Yeah, and we just saw it. We saw it last week. We can hope that perhaps maybe you're going to see the same kind of thing again this week. San Diego, as I pointed out before, just schizophrenic, in my opinion. I'm taking Carolina on the upset.
I got you. I'm with you there, taking Carolina Panthers as well. And I see everybody else should take the Carolina Panthers because I see them winning this game.
Yep.
Seattle Seahawks at the Buffalo Bills. Seattle Seahawks, a 5-point favorite, Mike.
No brainer. 8-5. Seattle's defense has been superb against a weak Buffalo team. I don't care if the game's in Buffalo or not. Seattle 5, take it. Go with Seattle.
Seattle here as well. Detroit Lions at Mike's favorite Arizona Cardinals. Lions, a 6-point favorite.
This Arizona team may not win a game for the rest of the season. After
I don't see it happening, Mike. I don't.
You don't see it happening?
No.
Okay. After going 4-0, right now they're 4-9. Detroit, I realize they're 4-9 as well, but I think Detroit's a little stronger. I'm going with Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit definitely is going to win this game, and they're going to cover the point spread, no doubt about it. Pittsburgh Steelers at the Dallas Cowboys. Steelers, a 1.5-point favorite. Steelers, of course, have Roethlisberger back in the fold. Who do you got, Mike?
Synergy of the NFC East. I'm going with Dallas on this one. I think Pittsburgh right now is still a bit – they've just shown inconsistencies to me going down the stretch here. Now, I recognize that they've had QB issues.
Yeah.
But a 1.5-point – they're only 1.5-point favorite over Dallas. At Dallas, I'm taking Dallas, though.
Okay. Well, talking about inconsistencies, and you picked the team that defines it in the Dallas Cowboys, I'm going with the Steelers here to win the game.
Okay.
Kansas City Chiefs at the Oakland Raiders. Talk about a miserable game. Who do you got, Mike?
Yeah, is anybody even going to tune into this one?
No.
I'm actually
blacking it out in Kansas City and Oakland, and they're blacking out people's tickets. So
there you go. Boy, am I glad my fantasy year is over and I don't have to worry about this game at all. Okay. So we'll pick this one just for giggles.
We have to.
Yeah, just for giggles,
sure,
I guess.
It's our friendly competition leaderboard here.
Yeah, okay. Okay, let me close my eyes. Hold on. Oakland.
Go ahead.
Oakland.
Oakland? Wow.
Yep.
All right, well, I'm going to take Kansas City because it doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah, well, okay, there you go.
San Francisco 49ers at the New England Patriots. Patriots, a 5.5-point favorite.
It's another one like that game that we just talked about before. This could be one of the better games. Which one was I talking about? Denver and Baltimore. This is another one of those games that could be really, really entertaining. It is a Sunday night game. New England has been putting up so many points in the past couple of weeks. They are a point-producing machine.
Yes.
5.5-point favorite over San Fran. Everybody can talk about San Fran's defense all they want. This game is at New England. I'm taking New England.
Yeah, I'm taking the 49ers. Mm-hmm. I have to. Monday Night Football, New York Jets at the Tennessee Titans. Titans, a 1.5-point favorite. Mike, who do you got?
And Johnson, talk to me. Why are the Titans a 1.5-point favorite? Why? Because it's at Tennessee?
It's Vegas. I don't know.
It's at Tennessee,
I
guess.
They like Jake Locker. I mean, who knows? They like Kenny Britt. Who knows?
I don't know. I the Jets, we talked about them on Monday. The Jets still have a potential of winning or at least getting in on the wild card.
Playoffs? You're talking about playoffs?
Correct, man. I am going to pick the Jets on this one.
Yeah, I'm picking the Jets as well. I can't see how they're not going to be able to beat the Tennessee Titans, no matter who's in the quarterback position. Braylon Edwards back in New York.
That would be a help.
Play this weekend, but would be great if we do.
Yeah, I know that you're high on that and that you're happy about that. And you and I were talking about that a little bit pre-show. I think that's a good move for the Jets. I think it's a good move for Braylon Edwards.
Braylon Edwards loves the Jets. He loves to grab passes from Mark Sanchez, so why not? It just fits right now.
Absolutely.
All right, but let's talk a little about the New Orleans Saints here, Mike. Big
news
coming out yesterday. 4 players who were in the whole bounty gate with the New Orleans Saints. I'm guessing they had a hearing with former NFL Commissioner Paul Tagliabue.
Right.
So he can look into all the evidence and see what exactly was going on here. And what did Tagliabue do? He threw everything out. That's it. They're gone. No suspensions for these players. That's it. Tagliabue once again makes his mark in the National Football League. Mike, from what you read, from what you heard, what do you think about all of this?
Jonathan, this is so convoluted at this point. I'm actually, modestly confused. First of all, I don't understand what the whole purpose of it was to begin with, okay? Except for the fact that there was just such a brouhaha building amongst some in the NFLPA.
Yeah.
But it appears, if you read between the lines, that what Tagliabue did here was he came straight down the middle. I mean, there were some areas that he left alone and then other areas where he didn't.
Yes.
Some are saying that, in fact, what it did was it actually affirmed Roger Goodell. Others are saying that, in fact, it made him look like a horse's ass.
Yeah.
I for one, contend it made Goodell look badly.
Oh, absolutely. Especially
That's
to have the former commissioner coming to do it. Come on.
I mean, and I really do not understand what the whole purpose of it was.
Yeah.
In the USA Today article that I posted up yesterday on the Frat House Eagleville page, Tagliabue's decision appears to serve two obvious purposes. It allows Goodell to save face by affirming his findings, and it tries to remove a scandal from the headlines at a time when the NFL is in the midst of a public relations nightmare, a recent murder-suicide by KC Chiefs linebacker Devon Belcher, and the death of Dallas Cowboys practice squad linebacker Jerry Brown in a car crash.
Yeah.
The whole thing is very, very – I think it's actually more confusing now than it was before. And I think that it actually creates more controversy now than if we just left the whole darn thing alone.
Well, you know, here's the deal. What the hell do we even have a commissioner for in sports if he's the one that can't even handle it? Second of all, to appoint the former commissioner that you took over to be the one who actually is going to look through this problem and be the problem solver – I thought it was ridiculous.
Well, it's almost as if you're...
And I like Paul Tagliabue. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, so do I.
I think he should still be the commissioner of the National Football League. Not like Roger Goodell at all.
Right.
Since Roger Goodell has come in, I think he's done nothing but scar the sport of football. But then again, here you go. I mean, just another circus for the NFL. And it's been nothing but a circus over, what, the past year?
Well,
Maybe even more? I mean,
I know that there were some people that jumped onto on my Facebook page after I made that post and said that they felt that I, you know, was incorrect in my assessment that it made the current commissioner look bad. I, you know, throw the number out there because I'm going to tell you right now, I want to hear from people on how they think that this actually makes Goodell look good.
Absolutely. You know what? If you're listening to us right now and you want to talk about this, give us a call at 347-237-5373. Once again, it's 347-237-5373. Let us know what you think about the whole New Orleans Saints media circus with Paul Tagliabue, Roger Goodell, and the whole Bounty Gate thing, because it's ridiculous, and we're just as flabbergasted as most likely you are.
Yeah, and I mean, if somebody out there thinks that I'm wrong, that, you know, this doesn't make Goodell look poor, then you got to give me a good solid reason for what your reasoning is on that, because as I pointed out, I've read numerous reports on this whole thing, and each time I do, I come away with the same thing. I'm scratching my head, going, huh?
Well, you know, isn't it funny that in just a week span we have three commissioners from both the NBA or from all of the NBA, the NHL, and the NFL making complete fools of themselves?
Are you asking me if I think that's shocking?
It's not shocking. It's just funny how it's always it's coming down at the same point right before Christmas. I love it.
Hey, well, listen. Let's not forget that, you know, we could throw the NHL in there too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. NHL, NFL.
Oh, I thought you said NBA.
And NBA, yeah, Stern with the whole finding over Popovich benching a couple of players.
Yep.
You know, nothing could be more foolish than that. We should roll them all into a ball. Throw them in the gutter.
Yeah, well.
That's what I said. Actually, no. Throw them in the trash because you don't want to litter.
Horrible
for the earth.
So, to me, again, I just go back to it and I say, well, I don't get it. I don't get it. And frankly, I think the NFL would have been better off to just leave it alone. I think the whole situation would have quietly gone away once. Look, this season's almost done as it is.
Yeah.
All right? So, they were close to getting past this whole thing. And moving on into the next season without any additional controversy.
Yeah.
Just leave it go now at this point.
Well, you know, we'll definitely be reaching out to, a sports lawyer or even Paul Tagliabue himself to see if we can get them to come on air within the next couple of weeks to explain to us what the whole process was here.
Well, that would be outstanding. Yeah, sports attorney would be fabulous.
Absolutely.
To hear from, because I'm just a dumb layman.
And you know what? Not even you, Mike. A lot of people are asking what went wrong here, what went down. It's not just you, man. And it's not just me, thankfully.
All right.
All right, let's get into some MLB hot stove, Mike. There's a lot of stuff going on in the land of make-believe.
Make-believe.
to be called Bud Selig's hometown.
Yeah, you only seem to like baseball in the offseason, dude.
I do.
It is make-believe. I'm not sure.
But I can't help it. I love signings. I love trades. I think it's awesome. I think it's great for the sport.
Yeah. Right.
I love baseball until about the time we get to a little bit after the All-Star break, then I start getting bored. So.
And I was going to say, once the season starts, you know, it'll be like, no, yeah, okay, all right.
Hey, listen, I watch it. I follow it. What are you going to do? But anyway, let's talk some MLB hot stove. First, we got a signing to announce here. Kevin Youkilis, former Boston Red Sox, he signed with his rival Yankees.
We see this so often. It's
the Yankees. You know what? I read so many comments from people saying, oh, I can't root for this guy. He's a moron. It's Kevin Youkilis. Why would the Yankees do something like that? Okay, yeah, listen, you already signed Chuck Knoblauch. You already got Roger Clemens. You already got all these other guys that you turned on and rooted for and were wearing their jerseys. Guarantee you we'll see Youkilis jerseys at Yankee Stadium this year.
It is absolutely, I'm a Phils fan, so I mean, I hate to draw too strong a parallel. But it really is laughable how many times you hear Yankee fans say, oh, there's no way. There's no way we could ever. And yet it seems to happen so often. Here come the former Red Sox players all lining up to wear the pinstripes. To me, it's laughable. It really is funny.
Let me ask you this, Mike. You're a big Phillies fan.
Yeah.
Biggest Phillies rival, New York Mets.
Or
if not the biggest, one of the biggest for them.
Yes.
Phillies turn around, they sign David Wright. David Wright comes to Philadelphia, he plays third base, he hits some home runs, he knocks in some RBIs, he helps you guys win games. You're not going to hate on the guy just because he was a Met. He's helping your team win a ball game.
Okay, with due respect, you're right. I wouldn't, but I'm going to tell you right now, I personally know some.
Oh, there'd be a lot of people that would.
Yes, I know. I personally know a lot of people that would. I'll tell you one that I absolutely.
An actual point of actually being smart, knowing the game and loving the game itself. You need to realize that if a guy is coming to put your jersey on, it doesn't matter who he played for before. He is now a part of your team, and you're supposed to be rooting for the jersey.
Well, not with all due respect, though, Jonathan, not all fans have to be mercenaries, okay? Wright is a good example for me. I wouldn't have an issue with it, but I'll give you one that I would have a year ago, and that was Jose Reyes. There was no way I would have accepted Jose Reyes in a Philadelphia Phils uniform.
Oh,
no way.
Right now, I wouldn't accept Jose Reyes back in a New York Mets uniform right now. The best thing they ever did was get rid of Jose Reyes. Yes,
there are some players, however, that just rankle you to the point. And it doesn't matter whether they're playing for the Mets or for the Braves or for somebody else.
Listen,
sit there and go, I don't want them on my team.
Listen, if somehow David Wright was never a Met and 8-9 years ago they ended up signing Chipper Jones to play third base and he helped the Mets win a ton of games, I don't care what the hell happened when he was with the Braves. That guy is now a New York Met. He's helping us win bowl games. He's helping us get into the playoffs. That is all that matters. And to Yankees fans, that's all that should matter is now Youkilis is a Yankee. Stand behind him and to let him help you guys win games.
Well, that's why you like playing fantasy general manager, dude. You'd prefer to play baseball during the off season because you don't care once the season starts.
No.
I mean, seriously. I'll give you a Met, though, that really did, even despite all of the background now and the horrible future that he ended up having, a Met that was really embraced by the Phils down here, and that was Lenny Dykstra.
Mr. Nails himself.
Absolutely. He was embraced. So,
yeah, of course. He went to Philadelphia, and he ended up becoming probably one of the most popular Philadelphia Phillies to ever play.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No. And, of course, now we don't
speak. You know what? I'm sure when Lenny Dykstra gets out of jail, I'm sure he'll be popular again.
I don't know about that one.
It's Nails. Let's get his autograph. It's, you know, listen, it's just absurd. I'm sorry. Listen, you know what? If a guy takes the money to play for your team, these players don't have animosity against these teams. They have animosity towards the rivalry itself. They are into the heat of the moment. Once that game is over, they don't care. If they're not a part of the other team anymore and they want to become a part of yours, that's all that matters. Embrace the guy. That's all.
I would agree with you that the vast majority of players do not have animosity toward any particular team. I think that there are occasions where you do hear about a player absolutely despising a team.
Well, because either he played for that team already and they got rid of him in a way he didn't appreciate.
All right, wait. I'm going to tell you right now, there is no way that Sidney Crosby would ever put a Flyers jersey over his head. No way.
Listen, if the money was there, I don't care what player it is. I guarantee you they take the money.
I disagree with you. I think that he would probably, you know, somewhere, if that were ever to happen, which I don't think it ever would, he's going to say, fine, trade me anywhere, but I ain't going to Philly.
Dude, he's one slap that I had to wait from being out of the NHL anyway. You don't want him.
Well, I'm not saying I do. Trust me.
But, listen, if it happened, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to have to try to embrace it. You're going to have to try to root for the guy because he's a Flyer. You know, what are you going to do?
Well,
all right, let's get back to some other.
Yeah, we got some other recent signings. And one of the ones that I wanted to throw out there, Jonathan, was Zach Greinke. 6 years, $147 million to Los Angeles.
Great signing for Los Angeles.
I think it's a tremendous signing for Los Angeles. I think it's a bit pricey.
Yeah.
But I think it's an incredible acquisition, and I was talking to you about this one pre-show, and I think it's a clear indication, as we saw very, very early in the season last year with the Dodgers, this Dodgers team is serious.
Yeah.
And they just took the next step one more time, albeit I think that the price tag was a bit high.
Well, I mean, at that price, I think most players – actually, I think all players are high, so –
Well, yeah. But, I mean, we were talking about that a little bit as well, that I frankly think that it's indicative of what I characterized as a weak free agent market. And so, therefore, the handful of really, really good players out there are commanding major dollars.
Absolutely. And you said that from the get-go. It's a weak free agent market. And, you know, and then I filled in right there saying that, there, you know, if you're a team that needs to fill a hole with a certain veteran – this is your type of free agent market.
It certainly is.
If not, you go on the trade market. And that's what happened yesterday with the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah.
They wanted to fill a hole. They wanted to upgrade. So what did they do? They did a three-team trade with, I believe, the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I can't remember the other team who was in on that. Oh, excuse me. The Indians, the Reds, and the Diamondbacks.
Indians. Yeah, I was going to say the Indians were involved in it.
Yes. And, you know, sucks for the Indians. I think they lost a really good player, and I think they just downgraded their team. But great for the Reds because they ended up, grabbing Shin-Soo Chu,
yep,
the outfielder from Cleveland.
Yep.
And only really giving up Drew Stubbs in the deal. So to me, the Reds upgraded. They saw that there was nothing on the market for them. They re-signed Ryan Ludwig, and then you bring in a guy who likes to get on base and steal bases in Shin-Soo Chu, who's actually a very good defensive outfielder as well.
And the Reds were a team going early into the season that were projected to make a run at their division. And if you recall back to the beginning of their season, they actually were playing quite well, and it looked like they had a real shot at it. This is a good move, a really good move, in my opinion, for Cincinnati. Chu has been he's kind of quietly become a really, really good player. 389 on base percentage. Last year, I'm trying to think here. What are they saying here? Batted 254.
Yes.
Do you have his current numbers?
Yeah, it was 254.
254. Right. Okay. With a 389 on base percentage, which is not half bad at all. Gotta wonder, Cincinnati going to lead him off?
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. He'll definitely be leading off. If not, who's that second baseman again? I always forget his name.
You're quicker over there on the keyboard than I am.
Yeah, I always forget the guy's name. Brandon Phillips.
Okay, yeah.
You know what? You put Shin-Soo Chu in the leadoff spot. Brandon Phillips batting third. Who's going to be batting third? Probably Jay Bruce. Mm-hmm. You know, Drew Stubbs is gone, of course. You know, Joey Votto is going to be batting cleanup.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a very good 1-2-4 number right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very good combination right there. So, you know what? You got to give it to the Cincinnati Reds. They really upgraded. The problem I have with this deal is the Arizona Diamondbacks. What in the hell were they thinking getting rid of Trevor Bauer and basically getting nothing in return in this deal?
Oh.
You know? I mean, what's going on with that? That's just, I don't know. You know, I have to actually look more into that, and then we'll talk about that next show because I can't figure out what in the hell they're doing.
It's the D-backs, man. It's the D-backs.
Yeah. You know, actually just got an update here. The Boston Red Sox are actually in serious discussions with starting pitcher Ryan Dempster.
Okay.
Possibly for around a 1-2 year deal. Could be a really nice pickup for them. But before we do anything else, we have another call coming in. 646 area code.
That's
you're
Joey.
On here.
What's up, guys? It's Big Joe
Joey.
From the Boogie Down Rock.
That's right. There you go, Big Joe.
I know it was Joey.
You know.
Hey, Joey, how we doing today, man?
Not bad. Busy day today, but, you know, so it keeps us moving.
There you go.
What's on your mind, Joe?
Not much. I'm just very happy with the Knicks last night. Big win over the Nets. You know, the Knicks are just a well-oiled machine right now that's moving. They're clicking on all cylinders. I hope they keep it up. Amari's going to be back real soon, so I'm very excited about that, him coming off the bench. Happy with the Jets bringing back Braylon Edwards. I'm sure you guys spoke about that already.
Yep.
Jonathan will agree with me in this one. Never should have let the guy go in the first place.
Right.
I mean, you know, certain receivers have uncanny chemistry with their quarterbacks. You know, you look at Victor Cruz with Eli Manning. You know, those two are completely in sync with one another. Mm-hmm. But Braylon Edwards was with the Jets.
Yeah.
Right from the get-go, he just had that uncanny chemistry with number six.
Right.
And why they let him go for Santonio Holmes, who, you know, as one guy put in Jonathan's Facebook, he really is a one-trick pony. You know, his moment was that great catch in the Super Bowl. I mean, outside of that, what has he really done?
Well,
I mean,
you know what I always say, if he was such a great wide receiver, why did the Pittsburgh Steelers let him go when he's still sort of in his prime?
Right.
That, well, I think his character was also a big reason why they let him go. I mean, the Steelers,
guys are fun, you know. But
the Steelers historically are a team that a big thing is like the New York Giants. One of the biggest things those teams look for in a football player is your character. And if your character is questioned, then you know what? The Giants did it with Brandon Jacobs. They cut him loose, and the Steelers cut, Santonio Holmes. They basically gave him away to the Jets for nothing.
Well, listen, you know what? You have to look at the Braylon Edwards, signing like this. They now control his rights for next year.
Right.
So it really doesn't matter what Braylon Edwards is going to bring to the table this year. If they can somehow get into the playoffs, don't get me wrong. If he's going to be healthy and contribute, that's great. But also, you have to see that when they got rid of Braylon Edwards, the running game started to decline. Why? Because Braylon Edwards was one of the better run-blocking wide receivers in the NFL. So, you know, and then you take a run-blocking wide receiver like that who can connect with your wide receiver, they add an instant chemistry, and then you bring in a Santonio Holmes.
Yep.
Doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make, but that's the Jets. So that's why I still say no matter what happens this year, they need to reassign Mr. Tannenbaum, make him the cap specialist, capologist, whatever you want to call it, and bring in a straight-up football man that will come here and make all personnel decisions regarding the makeup of the roster through the draft, the trades, free agents, whatever. And once they do that going forward, they will be back. They will be back to what we want them to be. And Woody Johnson, all he has to do, dude, sign the checks. Don't make no personnel decisions. That is not your job. Your job is to own the team and basically just sign the checks. That's good point.
So let me ask you this. If they get rid of Rex Ryan, who's out there that you would want to see coaching this New York Jets team next season?
The one guy I keep thinking about, if it does come down to it, but I don't think he'll do it because he's quite comfortable with what he's doing right now. I'd love to see Bill Cowher come here.
Well, absolutely. But you know what? I would too, because now you're going to have to give Bill Cowher a lot of control over this team, which says bye-bye Mike Tannenbaum. So to me, you're getting rid of two birds with one stone.
Well, you know, we've had a lot of talk about coaches and coaching changes here in the Philly area, and Cowher has pretty much been ruled out. That he is not interested in going into any team whatsoever. He's not interested in going back into coaching.
He wants the Giants.
So I think, really, to be realistic, and if there was going to be a realistic conversation in the New York region about coaching changes and Ryan going and getting somebody else, I think you have to really start looking at probably some of those that are in the college ranks.
Yeah.
All right, so, Mike, let me ask you a question. You're the big Eagles fan, right?
Yes.
Okay. Andy Reid, if he gets fired and all of a sudden he's available and the Jets make a play at him, how do you think he will fit in New York City with the media, with the Jets,
God,
and everything?
God,
how would Andy Reid fit up in New York?
Yes.
Oh,
with
no.
The personnel that the Jets have and everything.
Well, I'll tell you this. If Andy Reid comes to New York, raise papaya, man. They're going to have to hit the stock market.
Listen, you got, the media up there, the media down here has been brutal on him. The media up there will absolutely destroy him. I don't see him going. I wouldn't see Andy Reid going to the Jets. I could sooner see him going someplace like, well, of course, the big landing spot that everybody's talked about around here has been San Diego. But I could see him out in Arizona. I could see him out of San Diego, of course. And one of the other places that a lot of people have talked about, which I don't know if I really see it, but I've heard Dallas. But
I've heard Dallas as well.
Oh,
you know,
man, Dallas
is honestly, from the guys you see that are broadcasting right now who were ex-coaches, the only guy I could see actually handling the New York media is John Gruden, but I think he would take the Philadelphia Eagles job before he takes the Jets job.
Well, see, here's the other thing that I don't think would work with Andy Reid with your team. Just the way your team currently right now, offensively and defensively, actually, he might be able to work with it. But offensively, I don't think that's – Andy Reid would not be the right kind of coach for the New York Jets.
So
that's my personal opinion.
Andy Reid would have to take control and, give him a good probably 4 to 5 or 6 years to get the players he wants in there.
And lots
wow.
of ham sandwiches. Lots of ham sandwiches.
All right, Joe. Thanks so much for calling in, man. Hope to see you on Friday, brother.
Let's hope this lockout ends finally, man. I know these guys are talking in some secret location, man, but let's freaking end the darn thing already, even though I'm beyond pissed off with it.
I hear you.
You know?
Let's hope so, man. It's Christmas. Start praying and asking Santa, bro.
Exactly.
All right, Joey.
All right. Thanks a lot, Joe, for calling in, man. We appreciate
right,
it.
Yeah, we've just gotten to the point where, the whole NHL thing is just wearisome.
Yeah, that's why we're not even mentioning it today.
I know. I don't even want to think about it unless there is movement on it, really.
Oh, as always, Mike, that's it for our show. And
I know. We'll have to get Josh Hamilton. We'll get to Josh Hamilton on Friday, I guess, huh?
What was that?
Get to Josh Hamilton on Friday.
Absolutely. We'll get to Josh Hamilton on Friday. But before we go, Monday show, we're going to have former NBA player Dwayne Coswell joining us, former Sacramento King and Miami Heat. Going to talk to him a lot about his NBA career and also about being on those Heat teams that were battling the Knicks in the mid-90s.
That's going to be awesome, and I can't wait.
Great. It's going to be great talk there.
I love talking to some of the former NBA guys. I think it's just great.
I love it, man, and they're so good to us all the time. Saturday, remember, blogtalkradio.com/LFL Edge. You can listen to me, Mike, and our guest analyst Heather Furr, and a lot of other LFL players for our LFL Edge Pacific Cup pregame show from 8 p.m. Eastern Time to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yeah, we've got so much covered in that particular show. You just absolutely can't miss it.
It's going to be jam packed, and we are going to be taking callers. So listen in, because we're only taking them on certain spots of this show because it's so jam packed.
Right.
And as always, check out Mike, check out Sidekick and the Frat House Gang at frathouse.net.
Yep.
New 5 minute at the Frat House coming to you tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow, correct. Tomorrow, we'll be filming it tomorrow, and it'll be released early Friday morning.
Awesome stuff. And fanjunkies.net, where sports meets social networking. Check it out. Sign up 100% free. Interact with sports fans. It's always great times over there.
Yep.
And as always, thank you to our wonderful listeners for tuning in to Fan Junkies Radio, and we'll be back Friday, 12 p.m. Eastern Time. McShane, I'm Jonathan Ragus. Have a great day.
Catch you Friday.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking.